Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's a grand old flag.
Listening to the Clicking Balls 2017 season primer for the Melbourne Demons. My name's Heath, and as always, we've got Brenton.
G'day.
And Josh.
Yep.
And we've got a special guest from the Melbourne Demon expert amongst us. Ricky, how you doing?
Yeah, good, man.
So how long have you been with the Demons? Or is it just their recent success that's attracted you to them?
Actually, no, just to give Ricky an endorsement, he knows how to sail. So that meant that he had to go for Melbourne Demons.
Shit. I don't own any boat shoes, though, so it's problematic.
Well, if you
you lease them?
If you wear shoes on a boat, they become boat shoes, yeah?
Tax deductible that way.
What I'm really asking is, how long have you been an MCC member?
Just a D's member, 9 years now, the D's member, but it goes through the family blood, grandparents, parents, and all that sort of thing. So I didn't really have a choice.
Down the First Fleet.
Yeah,
bloodline's very important.
My mum still tells me stories about when she saw Melbourne win their last grand final when she was 9. So,
top of your head, was it 62? 64. There you go. Not too bad. I got pretty close. But yeah, it's fair to say it's been a little while. Are they the longest streak at the minute without a premiership?
Yes.
Thanks to the Bulldogs last year.
What was
St Kilda?
66.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs cheated you out of it.
Cheated it, yeah.
So well, we're due now.
That's it.
Due? No, he left. Goodnick's gone.
So a quick look at 2016 then. The Melbourne Demons had 10 wins and finished 11th on percentage. So they're actually equal with Port, I think, and a couple of other sides up there. The last year of Paul Roos's reigns as well. So how did you sum up 2016 for your boys?
I mean, started off pretty poorly with a loss over Bombers, but that was a bit hard to take.
But I mean, that was coming off the win off GWS in round one, which was
true.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Again, we didn't know what we were looking at when we actually won that game, because we thought, oh, well, GWS have been pretty rubbish. And, you know, and then they just went on in the rest of that season to start kicking some absolute ass. So, you know, yeah, as the season sort of ticked over and we were doing well, and the season went on, and then we got up to Hawthorn and then won that game, and I think everyone started getting a hard on. So, and then the rest of the season just absolutely took a nosedive. We lost to Carlton and ended up getting absolutely flogged by Geelong. So,
I think with such a young squad, it was always going to be tough to run out a whole season playing at maximum potential. But there was always small little goals on the way, which was having consistency and trying to manage injury, especially with like that young squad, which, I mean, they did all right. They definitely bolstered their recruiting and they learned from their mistakes of blooding young players a bit too prematurely.
I think putting a target on blokes a bit young too.
Yeah.
Look, there's, you know, Paul Roos, the Messiah.
That was my next question, actually.
he came in and he... actually, one of the big things was just teaching all the playing group what it took to play AFL football.
What the footy looked like.
Professionalism.
When he came in, they didn't, you know, they didn't have those standards. It was it was pretty shocking. So even right down from fitness and things like that. And like Nathan Jones, actually, he took Nathan Jones aside, probably our best player on the team at the time, and actually started making him play as a tagger and in a defensive role to teach him ground up how to play the game again.
Yeah.
So, which from a guy that could get close to 30 touches in many of the games was pretty, you know, pretty bold move on him to sort
it's
of
definitely
go,
ballsy, yeah.
Yeah. So well,
that professionalism, though, there was a famous story of the rugby league player for the Storm, Slater.
Sure.
Billy Slater, yeah.
Billy Slater, thank you. I was going to say Michael Slater. I know it's not that. he spoke about, you know, because they share training facilities with Melbourne, and he's saying back in the day, you know, they'd go, the Storm players would go have their three-minute ice baths, while the Melbourne players were sitting in the spas. And they're like, guys, professionals, you know, this is that kind of thing just didn't happen until you got somebody of Paul Ruse in. So 3 years, they climbed up back to 10th, but his influence is bigger than that, really, isn't it?
Well, I think, too, some players, they know that that they're the star. So when a bloke, a new coach comes in, the player's like, well, they need me more than you, coach. Yeah. Where Ruse came in, it's, no, mate, he's safe. Every player is dispensable.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to Nathan Jones in so many instances because I think he is the prime example. He's like one of the few players that's still there and everything like
Well,
that.
Well, he hasn't got a media career waiting for him. I saw him on the women's footy show. He was ordinary.
Was he?
He was.
Oh, that's a shame.
Look, nice bloke, but just very much in his shell.
Well, he's got to punch the interviewer first, then. Just get himself into it.
I think the interviewer was a Daisy Pierce, so I kind of hope he wouldn't.
I'm not adjusting it. I stand by what I said.
Yeah, but Ruse and Jonesy sat down, they talked to the media a bit about this, that they had a lot of conversation around what was a good game of football.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Paul Ruse was trying to tell Nathan Jones that I don't care if you get 35 touches, that and you know if you're just bombing it into forward lines, it doesn't matter. Get me 20 really efficient touches, and that's a good game of football. And it took Nathan Jones a little while to come around to understand that's what the coach wanted of him.
Yeah, well, Bashir Hooley still hasn't understood that.
Well, that's true, because he'd start to make the other teammates around him better as well by playing that way.
Mm. Yeah, so bring him in.
So when's Damien Harwick out of contract?
Well, he's got a contract for the rest of this year, but, you know.
Well, looks like, probably putting the hard word on Paul Ruse to stick down the road a little bit.
I would be stunned if Richmond had.
Good luck with that.
I'm sure Richmond's already looking at a contract extension for Hardwick.
Exactly.
they'll pick up Buckley.
We've got Spud Frawley back. It's all good.
Dream team.
So we'll have a look at... the other thing you did touch on, obviously, with that Hawks win in rounds 17, 18, or thereabouts. Because I think for the majority of the players that are in that side, that's their first win over Hawthorn. So that's a massive monkey off their back kind of thing.
Yep.
So I think it was like 12 or 13 in a row.
Well, I was stirring up a few Melbourne supporters that were on Reddit saying that I think it was end of 2015. They were on their longest winning streak in 8 years, which was one.
Funny,
but,
aren't you?
But last year they put some nice wins together.
Yeah, and it was just running out a team of consistent performers, which they always struggled to get. And obviously with a young squad and having so many injuries, it helped, you know, I'm guessing the professionalism back of house helped sort of mitigate some of those injuries as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, breaking hoodoos is pretty easy to do when two wins in a row is already breaking one of them.
The bar was set low, but still, we still got to do it.
We get round one at St Kilda at Etihad, and we haven't beaten them there in over 10 years.
So it's a very interesting sort of start to their season as well.
I think it's a fantastic start because St Kilda are a team on the rise as well. I think they're probably a shade behind Melbourne in terms of where they are in their build-up.
Yeah.
But either way, it's going to be a fantastic match.
Yeah, well, they play, I think it's Geelong round three at Etihad as well. So it's a good way to lead into that, see where they're really standing. I think they leave Melbourne until about round eight. That's
exactly
the first away.
Yeah, rounds 1-7 are in MCG or Etihad.
Yeah, so they got a chance to really just hit the ground running for 2017. Some very winnable matches, and they could realistically be like 6-2 or something by 6-1, 5-2 by the time they go to Adelaide.
Before we get to that, we'll look at their off season. We'll do it with their outs first, and Jack Grimes is a bit unfortunate. He's a poor lad that was given a hard hand. Really, he's dealt a hard hand.
Well, it actually. I mean, all the Melbourne supporters, we wanted to see him playing games last year.
Yeah.
He grew up a Melbourne boy. He bleeds, you know, bleeds the red and blue. So, wanting to see him achieve success. But look, you know, he got to his 100 games with Melbourne. So hopefully he's got a son coming along the way.
Yeah, at the stud, yep.
Yep.
does it still count for illegitimate kids?
Well, I'm going to say, if
North
not...
North Melbourne supporter, exactly.
There's going to be a whole bunch of carries coming through.
Imagine Collingwood's talent pool they have.
unfortunately, you just got to own up to being their father. Lyndon Dunn, who I thought was a bit unlucky, because I didn't mind Lyndon Dunn in the back line at Melbourne.
But really gets beaten one-on-one.
Yeah. And got a fair old boot on him too, but he's plying his trade across the road now at Collingwood this year.
Yeah,
it was interesting to see it last year that both he and Cole Garland fell out of favour, and neither of them could crack into the team.
Is it just the birth certificate, you think? It's just the age?
I reckon it would be. And we had some guys like Wagner and Oscar McDonald, who's contentious.
Yeah.
The conversation around Oscar McDonald between Melbourne supporters is always an interesting one. People telling everyone that he's an absolute waste of time, and other people saying the only reason he could get a game was to get Tom McDonald to sign another contract, and everyone else,
the old Nathan Ablett syndrome.
Yeah.
Or the Cloak brothers. Go through two shit ones to get another shit one.
The problem is his dad was thrown in for free.
And Chris Dawes finally put up stumps. Is a lad that probably got his potential before he reached Melbourne. It seems to be a nice guy and everything, but it's just not aggressive enough to play that key position.
He seems satisfied.
Well, they had a role for him, but he just didn't manage to really own it enough.
So it was injuries. What held him back was injuries, and the one thing that that was the big talking point was his calf. So his calf kept playing up, and that was the thing that kept reoccurring.
Dairy farms.
And then pretty much when he was let go by Melbourne at the end of that season, there no other club looked at him because they reckon that the calf was just shot.
Not just that. What also hurt him was a young lad by the name of Jesse Hogan came in.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, are we going to give Chris Dawes a few more games to round out his career, or is Jesse Hogan the future of our club?
But surely the Brisbane Lions would have taken a flyer at Dawes.
If he was willing to stay there for 12 months, they would have taken a flyer.
I'll tell you what, though. I reckon Jesse Hogan puts around a bit. I reckon in about 2 or 3 years, there'll be a bunch of kids coming through under his name.
Some little shaggy dudes coming through.
The little Hulksters. Ben Newton, also delisted at the end of the year. And Hertia Lumumba, who isn't actually delisted, but won't be playing.
Yeah.
One of the weirdest ones.
Well, if anyone's going to have a weird result, it's him. Let's be honest.
Do you think they've just done it because they didn't want his retirement speech?
I hope so. It's smart planning. Because I already had jokes written for his retirement speech.
I'm just assuming he's gone over to, let Obama know what Obama's next move should be.
Yeah, how he should treat his home people of Brazil.
Yeah.
His best mate, the Dalai Lama, I think, invited him over for a cup of tea. So.
If he invited him over via telepathy, I'd believe it. I believe his belief that that's what happened.
I actually don't mind Lumumba as a player. He has a weird running style, but he gets where he needs to go.
And the only way he can kick is up.
Yeah.
Make it rain.
I thought he was an honest defender in that he knew what his limitations were when he was at Collingwood. Yeah. When he got across to Melbourne, it was injuries, and I think he even said that concussions played their fair role in the end of his career. So he wasn't the same player anymore.
Literally, he's Hertia Lumumba now.
Change his name. Yeah. That does help. But
he knew his limitations at Collingwood too, and that was telling Buckley to go get his
Well, who hasn't wanted to do that?
Maybe one limitation short he was just there. But let's have a look at the ins then. The big one obviously is Jordan Lewis, who at the start of the trade period would not have imagined that he was leaving.
Well, you're a Hawks man. You must love Jordan Lewis.
Okay, I'll start that again. I could not imagine.
Well, I just love the fact that the story that came out was he gets the call to come in and have a chat, and he's like, oh, you might be making me captain.
Yep.
Beauty. And they're like, well, you might be, but it won't be with the Hawthorn team.
Yeah, it's like your girlfriend saying, I'm pregnant. You're like, yes, not yours.
What?
It's pretty close to that.
Yeah, it was a big surprise when I first heard about that, and as it was for everyone in the football world. And then dropping Melbourne as the and he was a Melbourne supporter growing up apparently.
Yep. That explains the yarmulke.
Actually, I did see the Inside Source had a headline with that. Melbourne training gets awkward as one of the young players points out that Lewis has a bald spot.
Yeah, somehow I get a feeling that it gets pointed out to Lewis every single game, and that's why he leads the league in tummy punches.
What? Well, maybe Goldstein said something to him. I don't know.
It's due violence. That's what that is.
Better to explain the running, leaping, only just reaching your head coat hanger.
You mean spoil attempt.
8 feet in the air.
To be honest, he is of more value to Melbourne than he is to Hawthorn.
Yeah,
because he was runner-up best and fairest. Sorry?
Your list isn't that good.
No. And neither is Jordan Lewis. However, his brains and his thinking ability is what Melbourne are going to benefit from.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
why they've got him.
Do you reckon he has to shave his head? Yes. Well, just fit in with Lewis, with
Jonesy?
I think it'd be a good idea for him.
I think Bug should shave.
Nothing to do
too.
With Jones. I think it's just generally a good idea for him.
Yeah. When the youngsters give you a shiv out of bald spot, that's when you just go, yeah, well, I can shave my mate. What beat you up?
What do you think happens if Jonesy says you're going to shave your head and Lewis says no? Who wins?
I reckon Lewis just goes to his cupboard and pulls out a couple of medals and tells him to shut up. Then he'll spend the night in hospital. Don't get me wrong.
He'll be pulling
his medals
out of his record.
But he's still going to be there. Worth it.
Yeah, I mean, Jonesy goes to his car, pulls out a couple of weapons and goes, yeah, I can't.
We've also got Michael Hibbard across from the Essendon.
I think that's a great pickup.
He was borderline All-Australian a couple of years ago. And obviously, I don't know what happened since then over at Essendon, but, you know, something happened.
Some drama, yeah.
Something. But again, just another wise senior head down back who can penetrate going forward.
Did they get him and Melksham for pretty much nothing?
In separate years.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't pretty much nothing. We gave up our second round pick to get him. We wanted to
For Melksham or
for Hibbard. To give up less than that, and we wanted to give the next year's second round pick.
Yeah.
And, in typical Essendon style, they weren't into being friendly in negotiations. Yeah. And
getting the trade across is not typical Essendon style.
Exactly. So, and even Melksham was, we look, you know, it was probably fair, you know, what we gave for him, but, you know, it wasn't a great deal.
Yep.
Remember when Essendon said, you know, if players want to leave us because of this scandal, we'll make it happen? Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. We'll make it happen until you want to go.
Yeah.
That was their problem, is they didn't think anyone would want to go. So you should make those promises when you don't think they're going to leave
it. It was it's just a weird mental process. Like, yeah, look, we may or may not have injected you with shit that we don't know what the fuck it is, but you'll probably still hang about, right? It may not happen again.
Why would they want to leave?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We gave them the good shit.
We just built new facilities.
So we'll have a look at the draw for 2017.
Like hang on, one more in.
Are you one more in?
One more in. We've got young Lachlan Flipovich coming into the team.
I'm sorry, yes, I did not write
Flipovich. He's got to have the name Crocop, for sure. His left leg better be devastating.
Oh, I'll tell you what, if he kicks one out of the air.
Yep, 19-year-old rookie, do not fuck with this guy.
Yep, Crocop it is.
Yep.
I like it.
Do you reckon he and Ivan Maric just sort of, when they
give each other a wide berth,
and they plan, just sort of, they sort of walk on the field, just nod.
Yeah,
all right.
I think they get together and plan, and they can shake down the AFL.
All the bouncers.
There's lots of money left on the table here.
Like we said, rounds 1 to 7, they don't leave Melbourne, which is going to be a good start for the year for them. But their double ups for 2017, we've got Adelaide North, and North is a good double up. We'll come back to that one. The Saints, Collingwood, and Carlton. But North, I think, at the minute, North Melbourne of 13 or something like that wins in a row over Melbourne. It's the longest streak in the AFL.
Really?
So the D's got two chances in the year to reverse that one. So like we said, breaking hoodoos and all that kind of stuff, they've done a couple in the last few years, so that could be the next one.
Well, yeah. whoever plays Melbourne after that won't have to worry about tagging Jordan Lewis.
Because he gets reported every time he plays North.
Fucking match.
And I like any season we get to play Collingwood twice, because if we beat them twice, then
it's a success.
Yeah. You know, exactly. Don't have to make the eight. Just last year, we beat Collingwood twice. I had to remind every supporter after we got beaten by Geelong by that much. Everyone's like, oh, waste of time. Oh, what's going on? We beat Collingwood twice. Right, actually. No, great season.
It's like the Olympics, as long as we beat New Zealand.
It's the only time I went down to Swan Street to watch the training with a banner. Fuck Collingwood.
If they could read, they'd be really upset.
But, I mean, it's out of those sides, I've only got Adelaide and the Saints as ones that are going to be in the eight. So it's the draw you'd expect, considering they finished 10th last year.
Yeah.
The only thing I would have preferred, if I was a Melbourne supporter, to have a double up against Port. Because even though they don't always beat Port, they always seem to play their best against Port. Particularly, they play in Darwin or Alice Springs?
Yeah, we played shit in Darwin last year.
That was a shit game all around, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was horrible.
It looked like it was in like country. It looked like country league footy. That's what it looked like.
They usually play really well.
I think we played one good quarter, got ourselves right back in the game where we should never have been in it.
Yep.
And then they just ran away. Yep.
Even their playing style was a shit game to watch on both counts.
Yeah. But it's I remember quite a few times that Melbourne at Adelaide Oval really took it up to Port. And when Port were, you know, looking like contenders.
Yeah.
And I think one of those games is when we got the Viney rule, where he got suspended for doing nothing.
What was that one?
Remember that one?
No.
He got bumped into somebody.
Anytime he's been suspended.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Bandits for...
he's Luke Hodges said he's his favourite player is Viney, and I thought, okay, that's
Luke Hodges
pretty...
feels that hard done by because of Viney's treatment.
I remember Viney got who do you give the quick 1-2 to?
You
gave a quick left right combo.
Was that Rance?
I was going to say Stevie J
after Rance put one into.
Yeah. Well, I think it was actually. Yeah. But he I think he only got one match, or it was down to one match, pretty much because they said, well, it didn't really have an effect. It's like that. I don't know. I'd kind of, if I'd given someone my best punches, I want to spend it for about 4 or 5 matches.
Well, I mean, they were bus route and open hand palm strikes,
and Rance forgave him.
He would have got no weeks if it was Tyrone Vickery. It's like nothing seems to have changed.
Because Tyrone would have been like, I don't remember it happening.
No further brain damage.
Was it Tyrone who took out Cox in his last game? In the ruck, just gave him a fucking big overhand right. Pretty sure it was in front of the West Australian crowd too.
It was over there. It was Dean Cox's last game. Ended up being his last game.
Yep.
It was Brad Ebert that he hit a couple of times.
That's fair enough. Right. That's fair enough. I mean, we all want to punch Brad Ebert, let's be honest.
But getting back to the Port Adelaide thing, I find it really hard to watch the Melbourne Port Adelaide games because seeing Ollie Wines run around when we picked up Tumpus instead.
Yeah.
And Jack Viney and Ollie Wines are really, really good mates. Yep. So. Oh, man, if those two were running around in a midfield together.
Exactly.
God damn it.
And especially using Bernie Vince, good mates with Dangerwood and Tex as well. So yeah. She had a chance of getting Danger over there, get Tex too.
He was rooming with Tex for a while, I think.
Yeah, I think they were all sort of brought up that same sort of area they were living together. See it on Facebook. That's anyway.
Spent a lot of time at the Crows together too, obviously.
Yeah.
As loose as they come, Bernie.
Yeah,
so who's going to have a big year in 2017? For Melbourne, who's going to lead the charge for them?
Look, are you asking me for people that aren't the predictable ones, or are you
predictable ones gone? Like Max Gorn is going to determine that team,
especially
so
with the rule changes that they've brought into place. Yep. So now one-on-one rucking, he's a beast. And then in the preseason, what we've seen is they've slipped him up forward quite a bit. Been playing Jake Spencer, and Spence does pretty well up in the ruck there, and Gorney's just. He's actually kind of athletic when you see him in the forward line. He does the Sandilands thing where you can just stick your hands up and either get a free kick or a mark. But
he's amazing where he's come from. Well. Gorn, like, because he was, you know, sort of a year and a half ago, he was a nobody
in
AFL circles.
He was about 5 knee reconstructions or something. Yeah. You know, it was 8 years pretty much that he was with Melbourne. And we knew the talent that was there. Obviously, because they renewed his contract, several times in that period of time, and he, they just persisted with him.
Exactly.
That breakout game that he had against Geelong down there, it sort of showed why they were hanging on to him for so long. And now he's had two pre-seasons under his belt. Until then, never, ever had a full pre-season.
Yeah, uninterrupted pre-season.
So what that tells me is that guys like Leuenberg and McKernan, they should be growing beards.
Yeah.
Longer the better.
Well, it's been the consistent problem with sort of big men is keeping them fit. Because I think they've still got, not Jordan King, Mitchell King. He's a 19-year-old, had two knee recos, 200 centimetres, 100 kilos. Yeah. Looks like a good talent, but...
We've got two Kings that are ruckmen, and one of them... Yeah. One of them, I think, Max Jake? King. Max King.
Jake King.
Yeah, he's a ruckman. I think that's why... you know, Jake Spencer's actually getting a game. He's grown a beard. So
that's, I feel like just to get a roof over his head. By the look of it. Homeless looking. So I think Viney as well should be contending for All Australian. I mean, what's he, about 4 years in now? So he's still very young, but with guys like Lewis and Jones around him. I mean, Lewis is now just an extra layer of protection for him.
Yeah, well...
Viney got named co-captain, you know, this year, and I think there's quite a lot of supporters were a bit sort of like, oh, is it too early? Don't put the pressure on him. All of these sorts of things. But what they came out and they said is he's actually earned it. And one of the stories you consistently hear about Jack Viney around the club, pre-season, middle of the week, whatever it is, he's in first, out last.
Yeah.
He's pushing like 110% in any session that he's doing, and he's pushing every other player around him. So he's going up to them on the weights bench. You can lift more than that, you know, add a few on, get everyone injured.
Stick this in your ass.
So what do you personally think about adding him as a co-captain? There is nobody that thinks that Nathan Jones was lacking when it came to the leadership department.
Yeah, look, I mean, as Josh pointed out on the AFL women's couch there, he was not the best.
Not the most vociferous of lads.
Yeah, and one of the
Viney certainly is.
One of the things Jones does beautifully is he actually gets all the young players around him in the off season and everything that. Spends a lot of time with them, teaches them what to do to not get yourself in trouble. you know, don't drink drive.
Who to punch?
That's right. He didn't teach that to a.
It's like a rehabilitated felon who goes back to jail to give a little seminar.
But, I think, you know, he does inject a bit of youth. But, look, and quite a lot of people I've talked to have said, oh, would have quite happily left it with Jones for another 2 years and put Viney as vice-captain and, you know, sort of let him learn it. But, you know, Goodwin's come in. He's setting the standards and what he wants, and Viney probably represents a lot of what he wants from the players.
True, yeah.
And that might be what it's really about, is Goodwin sort of stamping his authority and creating his brand.
Yeah.
I think, too, like, there's one thing Jones doesn't do. He's not that constant talking. Like, he'll have a quick chat to the blokes around him, but he won't sort of run up and have a chat to someone. He won't get in his opposition's ear. Whereas Viney seems to love that shit. He just loves to keep the yap going, keep chalking everything up, which, you know, I like a bit of that bastard.
Well, it's funny. They do those mic'd up sessions, you know, and Jonesy's been mic'd up quite a few times. I've listened to them, and he sounds like he's screaming like a girl on the field. Yeah. he doesn't look like that, but
record to show that I did not say that.
Yeah,
it was not me. I did not say that. Jonesy sounds like a girl.
He is a lot more vocal than I thought he would be. And in interviews with him as well, he's talked about how he had absolutely no leadership ambitions when he first started playing. He wasn't interested in that pressure and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and he's kind of grown into that role, and I think Paul Roos taught him a lot about, you know, how to lead the players, and you don't need to be rah-rah.
I think there's something to be said for the sledge.
Yeah. Well, I reckon it's just a bit self-conscious about that voice. got a bit of support behind him. Now he's out firing all guns.
So didn't stop Rusciutto.
I'm going to say didn't stop Kernahan either.
Yeah, true.
Probably should have.
But I think that impressed me most with Jack Viney is the ability to keep his feet, like his core strength. Yeah. And just, you look at his thighs, they are fucking massive. Like, he must be able to squat pretty much the team.
Yeah.
Whenever he's like in flight, lands on his feet and is always looking to give it off or push forward, which is a great way to set up plays, especially around when he was sneaking around half back line just to help out. It was really, really incredible.
Yeah, well, he did, you know, when he saw Fife have his Brownlow season and everything like that, he straight went to one of the trainers and said, I want that.
Yep.
Like, show me what I need to do to get that sort of strength and things like that. So he wasn't just sitting there going, all right, just give me my training thing. I'll do it and I'll do it really hard. He's like, I want to work on this. I want to work on that. So he's, you know, Some players, Jack Watts and things like that, will roll in, do what you know what they're being told to do, and not too much more. And guys like Viney will come in and they'll look for every little
thing they can do. That's his old man's trade, basically, these days, isn't it? Doing the because he was fitness coach for Philippoussis at one stage, and
that's not a good thing to put in your
resume. Well, one thing you say about Philippoussis, he was fit.
He had poor strength.
There's a lot of women that can tell you exactly. Very could go for
it. Anyway. Pelvic like thrust things into orbit.
Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson comparison, where Jordan would make his team work hard as fuck in practice, and Allen Iverson was like, you got no more recruiting. You're here talking about practice.
Okay, I know that story. Yeah, that's all. Okay, so you've already alluded to it, but who's on the chopping block? Let's cut the chase. Out of tradition, is Jack Watts. His whole career has been on the chopping block. Can he stay?
Can he? Yes. He can.
Of course, he's got a 3-year contract.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, he had a cracking last season, and hopefully that I'm not right in saying last season.
Yeah.
But, you know, he came back and he's had to work his way back in. I mean, every Melbourne supporter just loved seeing him play a good season last year.
Yeah.
It was just after all the shit he's copped from everyone, and including ourselves, the supporters.
Of course.
You know, and I've seen it a couple of seasons before that where he'd start round one and he'd fly into packs and he'd actually get a bit physical and you're like, ooh, this is something you haven't seen before. Round three, he's sort of walking around.
It's like a nun in a bikini. You're just like, well, I didn't expect that, but I'm pleasantly surprised.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. I do remember watching one game with Chris Dawes, who was a beast for chasing and tackling and everything like that. And I actually saw Chris Dawes on the halfback flank chase down a player. The player kicked it across the other side of the ground, the other halfback flank. Dawes ran past Watts all the way over to pressure the guy who was kicking it. I was like, come on, man. You can do more than that. But, you know, Goodwin's not going to put up with a lot of that. And so he's kind of got the choice of whether he's going to step up or not. The best part about it is that we've actually got a list now that seems to have depth that will say, you're going to have to earn that spot because we've got other players that we can play.
Well, Tracker and Wiedemann coming in, like they're going to fill roles, which
Brayshaw.
You've got the other guys like Garlett, even Nibbler, Neil Bullen, who he had last year. He played a couple of senior games and he looked out of place at AFL level.
Yeah.
But every time he was in the VFL, he was racking up 30-plus touches a game. Well, so he was smashing.
Even the games he played, he showed those flashes that he knows his way around the game. Maybe his confidence got to get a bit bigger or something like that. But he's definitely got the talent there.
Yeah, you go back to that Geelong game down at Simmons Stadium where, you know, he kicked 4 goals in that game. Yep. He knew where the goals were and everything like that. So the guy can play, but he'll push. And one of the big ones is Dean Kent.
Yeah.
So Dean Kent, if he can stay healthy, that guy's a jet with his chasing and his tackling. He'll beat out Jeff Garlett out of that team if you know, if he's healthy. He's one of my more favourite players to watch.
Yep. Can be diverse as well.
Yeah.
I just had they've got to nurture the talent they've got. Like there's no really like you said, the ones that you're
there's winners on every line.
On the way up are the expected ones. There've been lots about them and they've proved that last year. It's a matter of just managing that talent. And the worst thing is the young players with injuries they've got to manage, which is tough because there's a fair few of them. But I'll go into that with the players in the outer.
Yeah, I want to see a bit more of Bug.
Thomas Bug? Yeah.
He's a little...
the other players don't.
Yeah. Was it his first year last year, wasn't it?
At Melbourne.
Always going to be a good player. You just got to keep him out of the pubs.
Yeah. Well, he's another fan favourite. They absolutely love him because he's just in there niggling and...
He's a little shit.
Yeah.
He makes Ballantyne look likeable.
That's what Jordan Lewis is like. You know, so Bug, you know, we're looking for those competitive type players.
Mm. Yeah.
The one thing that Jordan Lewis is going to bring and teach a lot of these young guys is how to be a bit of a C-U-N-T. So,
you know, you can say cunt.
We do a lot of games up in the Northern Territory, so we'll see you.
And also, you just want him to turn out better than Scully.
Well, it's
he's playing well.
He's a bastard.
Yeah, finally.
Then again, we got a few picks and everything like that for seeing the back of him.
Yeah.
And I know, 5 years after the fact now, but the amount of money that's thrown at him, you can't blame the kid.
Yeah,
definitely. Shit done.
I like money.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to take that.
He had to take a pay cut, though, with his next contract. I'm sure his dad didn't, though.
Exactly. Well, the funny thing is, since Sydney get the cost of living allowance, GWS do the reverse, and it's so cheap, they've got to pay the AFL.
So who else you got on the chopping block then, Ben?
I got, well, it's pretty obvious one. It's Jack Trengove, just because he's injured all the time. Because they were trying to shop him around, was it last year or year before?
Tigers.
Tigers looking at it. They gave him medical and went, nah, no good.
And so he's going to be a tough one. Another season that was ridden off, but he came back, played a couple of games last season, looked all right. But again, it just sort of, it sort of shows the depth that Melbourne actually now has.
Exactly. And he's 25 years old now too.
Yeah. So, and what all of this depth does is mean in recruiting, in drafting and things like that, you're not really drafting for need or something. Yeah. You're not going, oh, we need a tool, let's just grab that one. It's like, who's the best player that's, you know, that we've identified here and going for that, and then just continually pushing players out. You know, Bernie Vince is going to have to hold on to his spot and things like that.
The other thing is, you allow like the people who are injured enough time to recover. They don't have to be rushed back into the side to fill a spot that they usually would have taken.
Yeah, and that's what Trenters has had. Trent Groves, just gave him a lot of time this time around.
And Jai Kennedy Harris as well. I mean, he's had that hamstring injury that's been like the third or fourth time that he's done it.
Yeah, he was looking really good in the JLT, and then he's broken his arm, so he's...
It's going to be tough, it's poor bastard, because he showed flashes of brilliance. It was a little bit thin, a little bit skinny when he first came in, but had that natural talent, the natural sort of ability to read the play.
Hunger.
Just a little bit intimidated by the big bodies that he's playing with now, but, you know, that's just about a matter of confidence, having that team around you, which they got now, so...
For a bloke his size, though, you're right, it is maybe intimidated, but it's also self-preservation a little bit.
True, I mean, definitely.
There's one thing to be brave, there's another thing to be, you know, brave for a minute and then out on the sidelines for 4 weeks.
Yeah. And you do lose perspective of how big the players are because they're surrounded by other big players on the screen until you stand next to them like, holy shit.
So that's why I do like, you know, occasionally getting a seat to the game right near the bench or something like that. And you just see, well, that's a big motherfucker.
I could take him.
I'm seeing Mad Jack Dorr come off one stage and go, fuck, he's even bigger than I thought.
I went down to one of the Melbourne training sessions a couple of years back, and it was when Jake Spencer had just shaved his head and everything like that. And he was jogging along the sidelines, and, you know, he's a ruckman, he's a big boy, and but he jogged past, and I was like, fuck.
Yep.
So he looked like a bad guy out of Dick Tracy or something like that, too, with a shaved head. Just the size of his chest and everything. Oh, man.
I play football, see?
I like to use the Joe Rogan comparison. Just like, if this guy was going to rape me, could I stop him? The answer is no. It's a very humiliating feeling.
It's sometimes you just look at it and go, I can't believe we're the same species.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
this just doesn't make
especially
sense.
Especially when it's Spencer.
Okay, so when it gets down to it, where do we see the Demons finishing in 2017?
Well, I've got them finishing in seventh place. I think they're going to be up and up. I like where they're going. It's going to be consistent, contingent on... Going to be dependent on whether they're going to have the injuries and they're going to be able to maintain, or not maintain injuries, but fix them up. I think they will. They've got the depth now to rush players back in. So, yeah, I like the start of their season. The way the schedule is, I think it's all looking positive for them to be able to come out of the blocks, have a flyer.
I've got them fifth, pretty much because I think a lot of the close games they lost last year, I think they've got the cool-headed talent, especially in on-field leadership with Lewis, to turn those around, to get the goal they need to get when they need to get it. So I think they could have a massive season.
Well, last year they had 10 wins and I see that they've improved. They haven't, their losses aren't best 22 losses. Maybe Lyndon Dunn, but still he's on, you know, I think he's just turned 30. I'm not sure. But so he's on the downslide anyway. So if they had 10 wins last year, I see them getting more wins this year, which means they've got to go up. And I've got them playing finals as well, which would be the first time in, what, 6 or 7 years they played finals? No?
Keep counting.
Keep counting. It's longer than that, is it? Not 2000, surely.
2006 or something.
Okay. So, 10 years. A while. Yeah. So
Nathan Jones played in the last final, and that was his first season.
There you go. So, it's been a while for him.
How many games is he up to, roughly?
He's
north of 150.
Over 200.
There you go. Mm. Which is north of 150, so I'm right.
It's got to be at least 40.
Ricky, where do you see the D's finishing?
Yeah, I'm just going to say 8th, just not to be too optimistic. Yep. I'm a Melbourne supporter. Yeah. And
I do like the cautious qualified optimism.
Yeah, it's like, we'll sneak into finals. We'll, you know, 7th would be good because... You know, Bulldogs managed to do a lot from that spot last time around. But, I'm going to go 8th. And there's still a bit of consistency, I think, that needs to be proven. Yeah. Happy for them to prove me wrong pretty quickly. You got guys like Wiedemann. If Wiedemann comes good and is a pretty solid player the whole year, then that's going to tell a whole different story for that team.
Yeah.
We've got a pretty good backbone, like the whole way through the team, actually, you know, the spine.
The spine's great.
Exactly.
You
know, yeah.
It's pretty impressive with the big Maxi in the middle.
Definitely Petrarca's in that same boat. Like, he'll be a real litmus test for how they develop younger players, because he could be anything.
Yeah. Well, they played Brayshaw up in the forward line as well, this JLT. And, you know, he actually been doing some really good things up there. And if you actually look at a lot of the guys as well, even Petrarca, who's been fit, you know, from the day we drafted him, he's lost quite a few kegs, and Hogan's dropped weight.
Yep.
Clarence has dropped some weight as well, Clary, and you know, there's just a whole bunch, and they're the young guys, so they've come in, they've dropped weight, they've gotten their fitness up, and Brayshaw, like at the middle of last year, started doing that with his fitness.
Yep.
You know, he does look like he's had a stroke, but he's looking pretty fit.
Well, his uncle's allowed to speak to him again now. Now that James has left North,
it's still not.
Doesn't mean you want to.
He was saying a few times, you go down to the Melbourne change room, and all of a sudden, some of the coaches are coming around. It's like, hang on, what are you discussing here, mate? You can fuck right off.
Still going to do that.
It's a shame we couldn't get Angus to host the footy show, but never mind. Maybe in the future. All right, so all three of us have got D's playing finals this year, and the way that the ladder's predictions have gone up, that might even be a final in Melbourne. So anyway, thanks for lending some expert advice for the D's on us, Ricky. Saves us watching their games over the last couple of years. But it looks like the long rebuild is finally coming to fruition, I think.
Yeah, with any luck, and thanks for calling it expert advice.
By comparison, it is.
Yep.
All right. See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.